All right, cool. Thank you. When Lee asked me to speak on courage, he said we're doing a topical thing. And I said, well, I don't preach very well topically. I like to take scripture and unwrap scripture verse at a time. So when I sent him the notes, there were 20 verses, and he freaked. He said, oh, no, he's not going to unwrap 20 verses. No, I'm not going to. We're going to kind of breeze through 20 verses to get a topic. The purpose message last week was excellent. It was all about the whole thing about if you're in the will of God, then you're in the purpose of God. You're fulfilling God's purpose, and it was good what Lee laid out. I went online and listened to it to make sure I was tracking with what he was saying. I never, ever want to come in and do something contrary to what leadership does in the church. And by the way, I didn't really have to speak at all. We could have just went on singing for all hour. Amen? I mean, that was... You guys, Wendy, you guys, you're killing it. You're killing it for, I've spoken at big churches and worked with big churches that don't have the anointing that I just experienced here. So you should be blessed and happy. And thank God for the music team that you have here. And so it was amazing. So he asked me to speak on the virtue of courage. And the first thing, of course, I thought of was that lion from The Wizard of Oz that you all know. Was it the lion? Courage. You know, yeah, the cowardly lion. And I had to be delivered from that and get that out of my mind and focus on courage. So we're going to look at 1 Kings 18. So if you bring your Bible to church electronically or hard copy, I know it's going to be on the screen. And we're not going to read through 20 verses just like that. We're going to take little bits at a time, and I want to bring out some things about a man of courage that I think a man of courage, it was tough. You know, there are several people of courage in the scriptures that you can draw from. I thought of David. David is a man of courage, but David, when he sinned, if you don't know the story, when he sinned deeply, there was another man named Nathan, a prophet, who confronted King David. How would you like to be somebody, a prophet, just to confront a king? And tell him a story and then say, by the way, that's you. That's you, King. I'm talking about you. So that was an amazing man of courage. Paul was a man of courage that Lee brought out 1 Thessalonians last week and other places. He was a man of courage. And there are so many men of courage. Obviously, if you say man of courage, everybody goes, Jesus. But there are, it's great. But there are other men of courage that I want to talk about. One in particular, his name was Elijah. First of all, let's describe what courage is. If you go to dictionary.com or just some other resource like that, it's fearlessness, power, or quality of dealing with danger or fear. That's courage. It's the quality of dealing with fear or danger. Another one that I found was interesting that I thought was very fitting to what I'm going to be talking about today is that acting according to one's beliefs. So how much we need revival. We just said it, because we need a church, Mercy Vineyard, Passion Church of the Quad Cities, which I'm a part of, storefront to mega. We need a body of believers that are willing and have the courage to stand up for what they actually believe. It'd be a good time for an amen. Amen. Thank you. If I was in a black church, I'd be shouting right now. But it's acting according to one's beliefs, and man, do we need this today. Culture has no problem screaming what they believe. And I'm not going to get political today. I'm not here for that. I'll try not to get political today. We're not about that. The culture's screaming what they believe. Society is screaming what they believe. And the church sits back and said, well, it's just personal. You know, salvation is a lot like our discipleship walk, is that it starts personal, but it's got to go public. If I said yes to is it 36 years now? Yeah, the end of the month, end of this month, be 36 years we've been married. If I'd have said yes to her 36 years ago and then kept it private, never showed my affection towards Brenda, I don't think it would be encouragement to young people who are walking. I met with a couple yesterday, getting married in June, and they found great encouragement in talking to a guy who's been married for 36 years to the same wife. But if I never went public with that, it really wouldn't be a great testimony on marriage, right? So our walk starts very personal, but it's got to go public, y'all. It's got to go public. That's how we share the gospel. And by the way, that's all I've got. That's all I've got. I'll take a risk here. Where other Holy Spirit, am I supposed to? Yeah, okay. Where other people are getting distracted and sidelined by other things, I choose to stay focused on the gospel of Jesus Christ. There are plenty of other things to get distracted by in the world. Open the newspaper, go online, you'll see them. I choose the gospel, the good news, and the answer to every cultural problem we have. So anyway, I'm babbling. If you go back to 1 Kings 17, which you don't have to, I'm just going to give you a brief history. I'm going to give you a little history up to 1 Kings 18, 20 through 40, and we're going to talk about courage. A little history is that 1 Kings is an intro to Baal worship. Baal worship, or false worship. And who's Baal, you ask? I'll tell you. He's a prominent god of the Canaanite region known as the storm god. In other words, if there was a drought, if crops had to grow and everything, they would call on Baal, false god. Now, he would never answer, but they would call on Baal. They actually believed in this Baal god that they worshipped. We're also introduced to a man named Elijah. Ah, I love Elijah. What's his name mean? His name means the Lord is God. Now store that away, because that's going to be very prominent as we read 1 Kings 18, 20 through 40, what his name actually means, the Lord is God. In 1 Kings 17, he heals a widow's son. Now, this is interesting because the people in that region expected Baal to heal this widow's son. But the problem is Baal can't bring rain. Baal can't do anything. Baal cannot heal this son. Only Yahweh himself can heal this son. So Elijah counts on Yahweh. You're going to get the gist of this message. If you want to be courageous with the body of Christ or with the gospel, it's not you. It's the God in you. It's the God in us. That's what makes me courageous for the gospel. If I had to do it on my own, I'd shrink back every time. But as we're going to read here, I want to be like Elijah. So we're introduced to him. Ahab, we're introduced to a man named Ahab. He was a leader. Because of this declared drought, declared by Elijah himself, all Ahab, who was very wicked, all Ahab had to do is repent of his sin. In other words, grieve over the fact that he hurt God and then do the 180. That's what repentance actually is. Grieve that he hurt God, and grieve that he's doing wrong things and evil in the eyes of God, and the drought probably would have stopped. I'm almost done with the setup here. Obadiah, a great man of God. What does his name mean? Obadiah literally means servant of Yahweh. Why was he a servant of Yahweh? And what he lived up to his name by protecting 100 prophets of the Lord. When Baal worship and prophets of Baal were going nuts and all around the place, Obadiah literally protected 100 prophets of the Lord. So the encounter that we're going to read about happens on Mount Carmel. It's a range reaching about 1,800 feet high, and it's where most Baal craziness happened, and you'll see the craziness in just a minute. And just a side note, not in my notes, we have to be careful as the church not to operate the same way the prophets of Baal operated. What Wendy said earlier, you know, you're free to raise your hands, close your eyes. I get that. It's great. It's great. But there's a point where we step outside of that into absolute lunacy. Be another spot for an amen. So we got to be careful, church. We got to be careful. I wasn't in my notes. I'm not even going to charge you for that one. So we're in 1 Kings 18. It's on the screen, electronically, hard copy. And the first thing we're going to do is going to read 20 through 24. So follow along with me. So Ahab sent a message among all the sons of Israel and brought the prophets together at Mount Carmel. Elijah came near to all the people and said, "How long will you hesitate between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal, follow him." But the people did not answer him with a word. Then Elijah said to the people, I alone am left a prophet of the Lord, but Baal's prophets are 450 men. So are you getting the idea? Elijah's taking on 450 prophets of Baal. Anybody want to do that? I don't see any hands going up. I mean, this is huge. Now let them give us two oxen, and let them choose one ox for themselves and cut it up and place it on the wood. But put no fire under it, and I will prepare the other ox and lay it on the wood, and I will not put fire under it. Then you call on the name of your God, and I will call on the name of the Lord, and the God who answers by fire, he is God. And all the people said, this is great. That's a good idea. I don't know. I don't write this stuff. It's like Jesus in the desert for 40 days, doesn't eat or drink anything for 40 days, and the Bible says he was hungry. Duh! I could have told you that. But here it's great. It says, yeah, people said, yeah, that works for me. It's a good idea. So the first point I want to make is that Elijah lays out a time to choose. And I want to say that the same applies today. The same applies today as it did in Elijah's time, back in Joshua's time. In Joshua chapter 24, he says to the people, choose this day who you will serve. You all know it. You've seen a bumper sticker. You've seen as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And you know the great thing about that story, if you're sick like I am? Joshua lays this thing out. As for me and my house, and they go, he is God, we will serve him. And then Joshua goes, you can't. You're not able to. In the sales business, any salespeople in here, it's the takeaway. It's the classic takeaway. Serve the Lord, yes, he's God. No, you can't. And he just really wants to cement in their hearts what they're saying, right? So Elijah is doing this to the prophets of Baal, and he gets the time to choose. Now, he was a little outnumbered, 1 to 450. Went to Geneseo, played some football, got hit in the head a lot. But I know one thing, 1 versus 450 is not a good thing, right? But he takes them on. He says, choose. You call on your God today, I'll call on the Lord. And the God that answers by fire, he is God. They're all like, yeah, great idea. That's good. So let's go to 25 through 29. So Elijah said to the prophets of Baal, choose one ox for yourselves and prepare it. First, for you are many, and call on the name of your God, but put no fire under it. Then they took the ox, which was given them, and they prepared it and called on the name of Baal from morning until noon, saying, O Baal, answer us. But there was no voice, and no one answered. Imagine that. And they leaped about the altar which they had made. It came about at noon that Elijah mocked them and said, call out with a loud voice, for he is God. Either he is occupied or gone asleep, or is on a journey, or perhaps he is asleep or needs to be awakened. So they cried with a loud voice and cut themselves according to the custom with swords and lances until the blood gushed out of them. When midday was past, they raved until the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, but there was no voice. No one answered, and no one paid attention. Point two I want to make is the challenge that Elijah lays out. Elijah lays out this challenge. And I had to put this on there. I'm sick, pardon me, but I wrote this down. I think it's on the screen. Yeah, Elijah just flat out gets cocky. He just flat out gets cocky. If you know the script here, if you know the story, some of you might not. If you know the meaning behind this stuff in the original language, he gets cocky. He says this. Maybe he's occupied. Does anybody know what that means? Sure. Some of you, maybe your God's taking a dump. Eric came up to me before service, killed me. He stops right there. Hey, brother, how are you? Good to see you. And he said, I got to go see a guy about a fence, which was real. You had to go home and see a guy about was working on your fence, right? Well, I thought it was some euphemism for going to the bathroom. I didn't know. I said, it's back there. It says men's on it. You don't have to convince me. You got to fix the fence. So Elijah gets cocky, man. He says, maybe he's preoccupied, or maybe he's asleep. Couldn't you just see Elijah says, maybe your God is sleeping. You know, that kind of thing. It's just weird. He gets weird with him. He gets cocky with him. maybe you need a louder voice. No matter what they tried, their God couldn't answer. And I'm here to say that today nothing has changed. Nothing has changed. We need men and women of courage to stand up and say, boom, maybe don't get cocky, but get bold with the gospel. Notice next they cut themselves. I just want to go here on a serious note that nothing's new under the sun. People still cut today because of the same reasons. And if you do that, be healed in Jesus' name. But the same things, there's nothing new under the sun, y'all. But I love how Elijah gets cocky. Verses 30 through 35. Told you, Lee, I was going to read through 20 verses. 30 through 35, then Elijah said to all the people, come near to me. So all the people came near to him, and he repaired the altar of the Lord, which had been torn down. Elijah took 12 stones according to the number of tribes of the sons of Jacob, to whom the word of God had come, saying, Israel shall be your name. Oh, I love that, and I wish I had time to unpack that. I don't. So with the stones, he built an altar in the name of the Lord, and he made a trench around the altar, large enough to hold 2 measures of seed. Then he arranged the wood and cut the ox in pieces and laid it on the wood, and he said, Fill 4 pitchers with water and pour it on the burnt offering and on the wood. And he said, do it a second time. And he did it a second time. And he said, do it a third time. He's still kind of cocky. And he did it a third time. The water flowed around the altar, and he also filled the trench with water. Point number 3 is the response. The response wasn't just to call on a sacrifice. Notice something in here. And I'm not going to take a lot of time here, but I want you to get this. Altar calls in Scripture, they're okay in churches, but they're actually man-made. Altar calls in Scripture were a place of remembrance. Everywhere in the Scripture you see an altar, if somebody built an altar in remembrance, or it was a place for sacrifice. So I guess an altar call would be fine because you're sacrificing your life. You're saying, here I am, Lord. But the biggest thing that jumped out of me at me in verses 30 through 35 is they first rebuilt the altar of the Lord. It hadn't been destroyed. Why? Because you got a bunch of Baal fanatics running around, cutting themselves and waiting on their God to speak. They were not interested in sacrificing to Yahweh the king. They were too busy running after Baal, their false god Baal. And so the altar of God was destroyed. So the first thing Elijah does is rebuild the altar of the Lord. I want you to remember that. In your lives, in my life, if you're getting out of line with God, if you're missing the purpose of God that Lee talked about last week, it's time to stop and rebuild the altar of the Lord. Be a biblical model and just say, right here, I'm making this declaration right here. I'm building this altar right here that I am a man of courage. You are a woman of courage, and I am going to do great things for God because God is in me. What the heavens couldn't contain lives in you. Try that on for size. He lives in you if you know him today. Rebuild the altar. But not only did he rebuild the altar, he gave the 12 names of the tribes of Israel. Because notice what he said. Wow. I could land there and plant for an hour. We got to go on. Time to choose, the challenge, the response. And lastly, 36 through 40. At the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, Elijah the prophet came near and said, O Lord, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, today let it be known that you are God in Israel and that I am your servant and I have done all these things at your word. Answer me, O Lord, answer me. Does anybody have the courage to say that? Anybody have the guts to say that? It's all over the Scriptures. David had the guts to say that. Answer me, Lord. Where are you, God? Has anybody ever cried that? I have. I've been in those desert places. Where are you, God? You know the old expression, it's old. You feel distant from God, guess who moved? It's true. Where are you, God? this guy's got guts. Answer me, O Lord, answer me that this people may know that you, O Lord, are God and that you have turned their hearts back again. And the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt offering. It fell and consumed the burnt offering. You know the burnt offering that was for three times drenched with water? You ever tried to light a fire that was drenched with water? Consumed the burnt offering and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench. When all the people saw this, they fell on their faces and they said, "The Lord, He is God. The Lord, He is God." Then Elijah said to him, "Seize the prophets of Baal. Do not let one of them escape." So they seized them, and Elijah brought them to the brook of Kishon and slew them there. What a mean guy. Number four, just the answer. The answer was God having His way. Period. When are we going to wake up and realize that God will have His way? I will never forget, years ago, Katie Couric interviewing Am Graham Lotz, the daughter of Billy Graham. After 9/11, and Katie looked very arrogantly at Am Graham Lotz and said, "Where was God?" Am Graham Lotz looks at her and says, on TV, says, "For years, you people have wanted Him out of the picture. But now you're asking where He was?" She said, "You can't have it both ways." See, God will get His way. If we want to be an obstinate people and say, "God, get out of here. He's a gentleman." By the way, you can't really remove God from schools. You can't remove God. But He'll be a gentleman and say, "Okay. He's the Burger King. Have it your way. Have it your way." God will have His way. The answer is the fire comes down from heaven, consumes the offering, all drenched in everything. And once again, I want to say, nothing has changed. Now, I would like to say that Elijah, a man of courage, would everybody agree right now, Elijah is a man of courage. He's a man really to stand up. But you know what happens to Elijah after this? Jezebel. He gets fearful of Jezebel and runs away and hides. Which, by the way, is not negating what I just taught. It gives me hope. And it should give you hope too. There were three gentlemen in my life that were in charge of ministries all over the country. You know what they told me separate times? My greatest failures, morally, in the hotel room and all that, with TV, computers, my greatest failures, listen to what they said, happened on my greatest day of ministry. That's a more contemporary example of what Elijah dealt with. Can you imagine calling down, "Yeah, God!" and then going, "Jezebel?" That's exactly what he did. Why? Because he's flesh and blood just like you and me. But the thing is that Elijah knew for a quick moment, and I'm almost done here. Yeah, this is the shortest sermon I've ever preached in my whole life, by the way. for the brief moment, Elijah knew that God would answer. He had the courage. He had the courage. Let me ask you, do you have the courage to say, "God"? Or do you say, "God? Maybe"? You're looking at one that has done the maybe a little too much and not enough. God! This week will be a challenge for me. And I'm going to be on my knees going, "God! Answer me!" Because Elijah, I don't think, was going, "God, answer me, please." He was, "God, answer me! Answer me, God." I would like to say he was a man of courage that finished, but he hid. Here's the application to this whole message. 20 verses. I can't believe I just taught in 20 verses. Jesus is coming back. Look to the skies. Do we really trust God? Or let me just add, or don't you? Do you really trust God? Do you know him today? And are you willing to trust him for Mercy Vineyard Church? Do you have the courage to say, we believe the great days for Mercy Church are ahead of us and not behind us? Do you have the courage to stand up in the face of culture right now and say, no, that is not God? Do you have the courage to stand up when whatever, the bank account's empty or the car broke down? Karen, where are you at? Yeah, the car broke down. Do you have the courage, or don't you? There's no demilitarized zone in this, folks. There's no gray. You either trust him or you don't trust him. And I would like to say I'm over here, come on with me, but I'm about right here. I'm trying, man. I'm believing. Don't you think for a minute, and don't you let TV evangelists or anyone tell you that they're doing great work. It's God in them doing great work. It's not me. It's not you. It's the one who is in us. That's where I get my courage. That's where I know she gets courage. She's one of the most soft-spoken people ever, but she'll bite your head off in prayer. Why? Because she knows God. So I'm going to do something weird today. I just told Wendy, do you want to come up and do a song? Or you just want me to just close? Okay, I told her I'm the worst closer ever in the history of mankind. Well, other people are like, yes, come, and people run down the altar. I go, come, and people go, what? I like to teach and say, I taught, now go live it. But I would just like to ask right now, and don't do this because someone next to you is doing this. I'm taking a risk here because I'm not a good closer. But I feel that God wants us to say, here I am today. Here I am. If you want to be a man or a woman of courage and stand for this church, stand for this community that you desire to reach, stand against culture and what they're telling you, what internet's telling you, what Facebook's telling you, and all that stuff. If you want to be a man or woman of courage today, I want you to stand right where you're at. Don't do it because somebody else do it. If you don't feel it, don't sit down. Don't stay down. Do not stand because the person next to you is standing. I appreciate your honesty. These are the days, y'all. These are the days that God is saying, where are my courageous ones? And it's okay to feel weak. It's okay to hide from Jezebel now and then. But then it's okay to get back in the game. It's okay to be a Peter and deny him three times. It's okay to get back in the game. And the beautiful thing about the examples that we get from Scripture, David would be on medication today, wouldn't he? He's on a mountaintop. Yes, God. Next moment, where are you, God? And then he's, well, yes, God. Where are you, God? That was the life of David. It's the life of many biblical characters. And I dare say it's the life of us. So I'm going to pray for you. Pray that you be men and women of courage, this virtue of courage. Just one example. Father, in Jesus' name, I see these people standing, and I pray, Father, for every single one of them that they mean what they stand for. That no matter what the world throws at us, our cry will be that old song that I have decided to follow Jesus. The world behind me, the cross before me. I've decided to follow Jesus. May that be our cry today. May we have the courage of Elijah to take on 450 prophets of Baal who are all around us every single day we exist here. May we have the courage to say, you call on your God and I'll call on the Lord, and whoever answers by fire, he is God. May we have that courage, God. May we be men and women who are filled up with you the point where we cannot keep our mouths shut about what you're doing, who you are. So, Father, help us now. I pray for everyone here that's standing, that will cement it in today. We'll build the altar. We'll rebuild the altar right here, right now, God. Right here, right now, in Moline, Illinois, that today, courage will rise up in me. Today, I'm rebuilding my altar before you, Lord, to do great things for your kingdom. It's to you, Father, through Jesus, who sits at your right hand, praying for this very moment, and we celebrate that. Everybody said, amen and amen.
Just stay standing for just a minute. I feel like God is saying something pretty specific, so I hope I get it right. I feel like that when Scott was talking about, you know, crying out to God and saying, answer me, that there are people here that you don't want to pray that prayer because you're so afraid that he won't. That you won't hear him, or that he just won't. And so maybe that's where you need courage, is just to pray the prayer. It's just to say the words, God, answer me. God, answer me, and trust that he will. And I was reminded, and I don't know the exact, I don't know the gospel where it's at. I can tell you later, I'll find it. But when the man went to Jesus for healing, and he said, Jesus, if you are willing, will you heal me? And so don't we think that sometimes, God, would you just, like Scott was saying, would you please just, okay, if you don't mind, could you just help me? Could you just help me with this? Could you just answer me on this? Could you just lead me in this? Like maybe you don't, like maybe he doesn't want to tell you what to do, or he doesn't want to touch you and heal you. But Jesus answers the man and says, I'm willing. And I believe that's a word for somebody this morning. I am willing. All you got to do is ask. And I'm willing to touch you, heal you, whatever it is that you've been crying out to God for, or I feel like you're not, because you're afraid he won't answer. Cry out to God.
Okay, I just want to, I really felt like the Holy Spirit was bringing this story to me, and this might be kind of strange. This is actually a history story. It's not from Scripture. But I really believe this is a word for some of you today. And it says this. It says, the great French conqueror Napoleon, in his quest to rule the world, was quite surprised on one occasion when he encountered unexpected resistance while attempting to capture an island in the Mediterranean. The fighting was fierce, and he lost many good men in the battle before finally overcoming the enemy. Napoleon and his generals were having a celebration feast when, from out of nowhere, it seemed, a young officer approached him. Napoleon saw the young man and asked abruptly, what do you want? The young man said, sir, please give me this island. This is a true story, by the way. Please give me this island. The generals were deeply offended at the brashness of the young man. But suddenly, Napoleon asked for pen and ink, promptly writing out a deed to the island. He then signed it and gave it to the impetuous officer. By this time, the generals were astounded. They asked their leader, how could you give away the island to that young man when so many of our men paid such a high price to obtain it? Napoleon responded, he honored me by the magnitude of his request. Let that sink in for a minute when we think about courage in our prayers, when we think about the things that we feel are giant risks, when we think about our courage and we think about boldness. He honored me by the magnitude of his request. And I think that God would say to some of you today that, honestly, your prayers are too small. Your prayers are just too small. You're praying to scrape by and survive. Oh, God, if you could just please get me by. When God is saying, you know what? It would really honor me if you prayed big and you dreamed big for me. And so I just want to pray for you, and we'll go ahead and we'll close, but I just want to pray for you. God, we love you so much, and we thank you. And Lord, I ask God that you'd forgive me for all the times where I was just praying and dreaming so small, and you were going, hey, it would honor me if you made just a massive request, if you dreamed, if you had some faith. God, I pray for a spirit of courage on everyone in this room. God, that they would be bold in their families, bold in their businesses, bold in their dreams for you. God, because it honors you to have courage. It honors you to take risks in your name. God, we love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.